Welcome to Series 2 of our podcast, Simply Holistic Living. We have 6 episodes again in this series, and the theme of the work and the conversations in this series is about connection, connecting with our food, going back to the natural sources of food, connecting with nature, navigating our mental health, tuning into our bodies. And finally, we have a beautiful meditation to get us into that calm space, and that's in episode 6. We finish up with a lovely meditation. I hope you enjoy as much as I've enjoyed having all these wonderful guests come on the podcast.
Okay, and this goes around on the body in a circular motion, so it's okay. And you can rub quite hard
to get rid of all the
the loose muck. This I would use here, he gets a lot of muck. Feel that coming off there. You don't really want to use this on the legs or the face, it's too hard.
Okay.
But on the main parts of the body, you can really give them a good scrub with it, and they enjoy it. I mean, it's a nice massage.
Yeah.
I have just finished the most amazing horsemanship and yoga course. It's been 5 hours. It felt like 10 minutes. I could stay for the week. So I'm just going to chat with Tracy about what we've done and that connection with the horse and the healing nature of the horse and the integration of yoga with the horsemanship as well. It's really blown me away, Tracy. So thank you again for coming onto the podcast. And maybe just tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit of your own background, and then a little bit about what we've done this morning.
Thank you for having me, Julie. It's great to be here. And I'm really glad you enjoyed the day today. I have been owning and working with horses for the last about 40 years now. And I started very traditionally, like everybody else did, and then moved into natural horsemanship just out of accident, really, because I happened to be keeping my horse in a place where it was promoted and they had clinics. This was when I was living in America. And I started my first young horse and, of course, nearly got killed. And like a typical story that a lot of people have, how they got into it before I realized how to work more naturally with a horse and have definitely not turned back. And since then, having that perspective of working with my horses in a natural way, it's made me also really approach everything I do with my horse from the perspective of, if it's not working, what am I doing wrong? Or how can I make my horse as happy as he can possibly be? How can I make him perform to his potential? How can I help them be the best that they can be? And one of the ways that I can do that is by being healthy and fit and balanced and mentally calm and centered myself. And that's kind of where the yoga came in for me, as well as having dealt with some injuries, that I find that that communication, both verbally and physically with my horse, is so much better when my body is supple and soft and my mind is calm and centered. And it's one of my very first things when I'm working with a horse is show up. We expect our horses to pay complete attention to us, do whatever we want them to do, be really good athletes, and respond to all of our commands. And we need to do the same to them. We need to show up and be there for them. The phone needs to be off. The distractions need to be gone. The mind doesn't need to be racing. So, sometimes it can even be to the point of, if you're having a rough day or something else is just on your mind that you can't let go of, don't work that day. So for me, doing the work that we did today is hoping to maybe bring that perspective to people, whether they've ridden for their whole lives or just starting with it, and that while a horse is a big, beautiful animal and is, yes, very strong and very powerful, they're also incredibly sensitive and intuitive, and there are mirrors. So whatever you bring to them, they're going to reflect back on you, and they can respond to the smallest of cues and movements of body language. Today we worked on how we use our breath to influence the horse to go faster, to go slower, to bring ourselves into calm and centeredness, and the horse the same. And if I could help everybody to be able to whisper rather than shout with their horses, it would be the gift I'd like to give, because it's quite amazing when you feel that incredible connection with this majestic, fabulous animal. It's a natural high. It's fantastic.
Yes, I mean, I know I was blown away this morning by the breath work on the horse. I've come to riding a horse at a later age in life and, you know, just had a few horse riding lessons. But coming this morning, you know, the couple of things that blew me away was that breath work and that connection. And as soon as I did that breath work, I could feel the horse slow down. I could feel the horse speed up with the different breaths that you taught us. And the grooming as well. I was like, okay, great, we're going to do grooming for half an hour, whatever. But that connection again, you know, just did something. It was magical. You know, you're nodding your head going, yeah, you can get it.
Yeah, there's a reason that horses are used in therapeutic settings quite a lot. And for all sorts of issues, including, you know, mental disabilities, also autism. Autistic people find just being able to be around a horse or connect. We have groups that come out here all the time that their autistic kids are just, all they want to do is brush. And it's, again, that connection with that animal that is so huge for them. And, but, you know, whether it's for that or not, I find for myself it's extremely therapeutic just to be around them, because, again, they're that mirror. They're honest. They're 100% showing up and there, and what you see is what you get. You have none of these. There's no games being played. There's nothing hidden. And they accept you how you are. And I think one of the things that always amazes me working with horses, and particularly in a setting like this where I'm working with a school horse, is I could work with a horse that has been given the wrong commands or had somebody really heavy and uncomfortable on its back for the last time. And within 5 minutes, that horse has decided that it can trust me and it will do what I ask. It doesn't carry any grudges. There's nothing to hold it back from cooperating and working in harmony, no matter what its past experience is. Now, obviously, horses can experience trauma from abuse, but in general, they can overcome anything and be there to be with us. And it's just such an amazing thing, because sometimes I think, wow, you know, if we could do that in our lives, if we could just move past everything that's ever happened to us and stop carrying it around and holding grudges and letting it affect who we are and how we move through the world with everyone we meet, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing?
It would be so amazing. I think that's what I have learned this morning is, you know, it's not for me just about becoming a good rider any longer. It's so everything you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You know, the podcast, Simply Holistic Living, that's what this podcast is about. It's exploring that, dropping all the baggage, mm-hmm. learning from the horse, being connected, being present. So I think what you've done this morning has so much more of an impact than just becoming more skillful as a rider.
Thank you, yeah. What I would love to see is that everybody who rides, again, whether they're just starting or have done it a long time, tries to come back to those roots and look at what they're doing with their body. What is their body language? What are they doing with their breath? Do they need to quiet their mind? How can they help their horse perform better? And really approach it from a place of wanting to get the best out of both of them. It's a partnership. Me and the horse, we are a partnership, and I want the best out of both of us. So on my side, I have to show up, be present, mentally centered, balanced, have done my work physically to be strong enough. And then I can meet the horse in the middle there and expect the same from them. And having that mindset of, I want to have that harmony, I want to have that partnership, I want it to be easy, I want people to look at me on my horse and say, wow, they look amazing together, look at how relaxed, how calm, how beautiful that is. You know, there's no whips, there's no spurs, there's no chains, there's none of this stuff, and they're just floating around together. And that, for me, is the huge buzz, and I do think everyone can achieve that if they just learn those basics and learn to think in a different way when they approach the horse. Even like today we talked about our masculine and feminine energy.
Yes.
Even looking at that, what energy are you in when you approach, and how can you balance that before you get on your horse?
Yeah. I mean, talk to me more about that, the masculine and feminine energy, because that really, you know, when you talked about that, I was like, oh, how does this work out? What's this about?
Well, like one of the things I mentioned earlier, you know, I know in my past I had like a 9-to-5 job as a teacher, and then I would run out to the stables really quickly to try to get some riding in the evening. And a lot of times my sessions weren't really good. And when I look back, I think, Well, that's because I was coming from this environment where I was the teacher, I was the boss, I was talking all day long, I was way out of my feminine, and I was in this role where I had to be logical and rational and, you know, thoughtful and very disciplined, and then trying to come straight onto my horse from that place. And typically those traits would be associated with the masculine side. They're not negative. It's just that's the rational mind. You know, we need those skills as well. But with our horse to connect, we need to get more into the feminine side with the horse, where we're a little bit more in tune with our spiritual side, our emotions, our calmer, more creative and imaginative side. To be able to flow with the horse, because the horse doesn't have either of those things, he just is. So being able to realize, you know, what where we're coming from, it cycles, particularly for women, because of our menstrual cycles, we cycle through those energies differently and at different times throughout the day. But again, you know, coming straight from a 9-to-5 job and jumping on your horse, you're going to find yourself struggling to make that connection as well as you would if you took some time in between to maybe go for a walk in the woods, or, you know, pet your dog for a while even, or, you know, read a book or draw a picture, do something that you enjoy that brings you a little bit out of that right-brained rigidness and more into that creative side, that you can therefore open those connections.
Yeah, with Jennifer, the way she's doing that.
I like to bring him home.
Yeah, but he knows that. He knows that, yeah, he knows that you're feeling very comfortable with him, and so he can be therefore comfortable with you. Spending that time grooming allows the horse to start to make that little bit of connection with you, rather than you just hop on their back.
Yeah.
And, who are you?
Yeah. Who are
you? You're number 367 this week, right?
Yeah.
So they say, oh, okay, this is a nice person. She's gentle. She knows what she's doing. She's not afraid. So they'll, again, they'll pick up on any tension that you carry in the body. Yeah. But you don't jump. You're fine, Trish. Yeah, you're fine. You don't jump away or anything. But yeah, and he's a good one for somebody who's nervous, because he won't react. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it also, like I said at the beginning, it's a chance for me to also check my horse's body over and make sure there's no lumps, there's no bumps, there's no...
Everything's okay.
You might not know. You might get on them, and then all of a sudden they're limping, and you're like, what's wrong? And you maybe missed a swelling in a leg or something.
Okay. Or they're acting up for some reason because there's something wrong.
Know,
and you're... Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Yeah. And again, a lot of them enjoy it. So it's a
bit like us going for a massage.
Really, it is. Or, you know, imagine when you go to the hairdresser, isn't it nice when they wash your hair?
Yeah. To sit
back. Absolutely.
Because I know the first time I came out here for a lesson, I was, you know, coming from work and, you know, okay, what have I got to do? Oh, she's saying this, she's doing that. All caught up, nothing to do with the horse. So I think that's totally flipped for me today.
Good.
It's everything to do with the horse. You connect for me the yoga and horsemanship. We started off this morning with the yoga session for an hour, I think, and then we finished up with another yoga, restorative yoga. I know when I booked, I thought, oh, this is going to be interesting. What's your thinking around doing the yoga and the horsemanship together?
For myself, I think it's essential. Well, you know, I was saying what we need to be able to get the most out of our horse. One of the many things in that list is to be strong and to be balanced. And we get that from yoga. You can get that from other forms of exercise for sure. So keeping yourself fit is part of it. But yoga is more than fitness. Yoga is also creating mental balance and flexibility. So a lot of people find that yoga is great for injuries. So today we had a woman on the course who said that she had never been able to ride for that long before without any pain in her hip. And she was kind of associating that with the yoga we had done before going out. So when we're on the horse, the body needs to be really supple and be able to respond to the horse's movements and to feel what's going on underneath. And if we're tight in our joints and our ligaments, or if we can barely climb over because our hamstrings are so tight, you know, or if you have an office job and you've got slump and your shoulders are forward and you haven't done anything to open the heart and bring those shoulder blades back, you're not going to be able to sit correctly, and therefore you're not going to be able to feel or influence the horse in the best way for, you know, to get the most out of it for both of you. You're also going to be more likely to injure yourself and to possibly fall because you're out of balance and, you know, not be able to use your body properly. So I think that part is really important for me. So in the morning yoga, we did a little bit more of an active physical yoga class to get ourselves open in our joints and our ligaments and stretched and everything out, that we could be comfortable on the horse and feel things underneath us. The afternoon session, we finished off with a restorative, because we'd spent so much time at that stage in our bodies and working on that body awareness and feeling the horse's movements underneath us, working with the breath and how that influenced them, it really allowed us to just process all of that and to take it into a place of calm and peace and to really just restore our body. Because believe it or not, you guys took in a lot today. You actually sat on a horse for a long time bareback, but it didn't bother you or feel that way because of the work we had done. Yeah. So yeah, just to really kind of allow that energy to just come to a place of stability, I guess.
Some horses really love to be rubbed around the base of their ears as well. Some of them will really enjoy this, and you'll be able to feel that the ear will get really loose.
You like that?
And even here above the eye. Oh, you like that, huh? He probably would like, I was not aware if he was rubbing on the stable door. I'll bet if you did this with him.
In here?
Yeah, like my filly really likes this when I kind of scratch her like a dog.
Oh, yeah, he looks like,
he's like,
I actually forgot to say for people who are listening to this that it was bareback.
Yeah,
that
was amazing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, why? So, you know, I'm going to be, people are listening who know nothing about horses, just the way I was, and I know a little bit more now, but why do that bareback?
Okay. Yeah. Because you can feel everything underneath you then. You are really then one with the horse. So a saddle in itself is not a natural thing for a horse to wear. And then you add in the fact that the saddle is cinched up around the belly with a really tight strap. So, you know, imagine I've put something rigid on your back and then pulled a belt around it to the front and tightened it as much as possible so it's not going to slide, and then expect you to go and do something that requires you to be supple and soft. While horses will do it, the best way that they can move is freely. And I want everyone in the workshop to feel, really be able to feel the horse's movements, you know, understanding how your body then has to move to feel the horse. So we talked a lot about our hips being able to move in motion with the horse. And as you start to learn to go faster, each gait is different, which therefore means that your hips have to move in a different way depending on which gait the horse is in. So like, for example, in canter, they move in kind of a mixing bowl pattern. And you won't be able to feel that as well through a saddle. And the horse won't be able to be as free with his own movements with mm-hmm. that saddle on as well. I think it's also just, it's more natural.
Yeah.
So, you know, staying with that whole idea of coming from a place of nature and connection with the bare minimum here in basics and just connecting with that animal, we're only dealing with the animal then and what you feel through that animal.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, that was amazing, that connection that I felt bareback. I looked at the horse and thought, oh my God, how am I going to get up on that horse bareback? I've had six lessons on a saddle. I was so nervous. But the minute I got up, it was like, wow.
Good.
This
good.
Is that connection that you're talking about, feeling the horse, the total different experience.
Mm-hmm.
I think I could have just sat up there for hours.
Great.
You know?
Yeah.
It's been an amazing morning here, and I certainly encourage any listeners who are thinking about, there's not many courses, that's the thing, thinking about doing something like this, horsemanship and yoga. You don't need to be, I'm not a horse person background, but I've got so much more out of it personally, just on a personal development and connection, and the podcast being all about that holistic living. What, just to finish up, what kind of things, key things would you say for that, feeding into our podcast, Simply Holistic Living, what can we learn from the horse to live a more holistic lifestyle?
The horse is your mirror, so it really strips everything down. And when you approach your horse and you've got all your baggage and whatever issues you're bringing in, or you're trying to text on your phone or answer the phone or have a conversation beside you, and then all of a sudden you aren't getting what you want from the horse. The horse is just telling you something. It's really about taking a step back and learning to listen, because you can't argue with the horse. What's there is there. So you've just had to strip everything down and say, okay, this horse is my mirror, what is he showing me? And there are a lot of countries in the world that are actually doing courses with companies, and particularly with leadership courses with CEOs and things like that, for that very reason, because the horse will show you your leadership style. And when we think about what we look for in a leader, it's quite similar to what the horse needs. And they have it naturally within their herd. And then we come in and try to take a place in that hierarchy, but sometimes without doing it correctly. And we can't argue with what's being presented before us. You know, when the horse isn't giving us what we want, if we're not getting that cooperation, when it's feeling tense or when it's not feeling fluid, there's something that isn't working that we can fix. And so being able to look at ourselves and say, okay, this isn't quite working the way I thought it was going to. What do I need to do differently? What do I need to change? And change is really, really hard, I think, you know, but usually it's something that's in our personal life as well that maybe we need to look at if the horse is showing it to us.
Yeah, well, what a wonderful summary, if you can summarize all we can learn from the horse, because I know that's what I've come away with this morning is, what do I need to change?
Yeah, good.
You know, I'm really connecting in with that. And that's the excitement, Tracy, of being here this morning and having you on our podcast.
Thank you.
If people are listening to this and thinking, oh, I'd love to do something like that, how can they contact you?
That's a good question. They can contact me through Slivakti Center. So I'm here at slivaktisenter.com. They can also email me directly, which I am tracy@horsebackyogaireland.com. That's kind of an easy one to remember.
Yeah.
So tracy@horsebackyogaireland.com. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And then I'm working on a website, but it's to come, hopefully.
Okay. So, all right. Okay. Website to come. We look forward to that, Tracy. And again, just to say thank you so much. It's been such an honour to be here taking part in this. I'm looking forward to doing more courses with you because I know you're running courses. Come March, you said you would run another one?
Yeah, most likely I'll do another introductory course like today in March. But as you said, you know, the time flew by and there's so much more we could do. So in the past, I've done up to 5 full days. So probably sometime in May or June, we'll do a 3-day one as well. They are suitable for all levels of riders. And we'll see from there. You know, we'd probably do 2 or 3, one a month once the weather gets nice, at least, I hope.
Okay, well, I'll reiterate that because I am one of those total beginners and Tracy took me on this morning. So if anybody's listening and has never, you know, maybe had 1 or 2 lessons, maybe has some idea, certainly contact Tracy. And it's definitely well worth it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
So I really enjoyed my chat with Tracy today. It was so great to have her on the podcast. The takeaways for me from my chat with Tracy is, if you show up on the horse, distracted, on the phone, tense, the horse is our mirror and it'll reflect that back. And it'll demand of us to become present, calm and relaxed for the session with the horse to work, that it's a partnership. So the horse demands that we put away our mobile phones and all the distractions that we came with of our days or whatever's going on. And I think this is really an example of what happens in nature when we get in nature, whether it's on a horse or just walking in nature. If we put away all our phones and technology and get out there in nature, for me, it's the best therapy that you can have. It really just helps me to ground myself, to become calm, to become more relaxed. So I certainly encourage anybody listening to this just to get out in nature. It doesn't have to be on a horse, but to get out in nature. But if you do want to contact Tracy and do that horsemanship and yoga program that I did, Tracy can be contacted at the Slivakti Centre outside Loughrea in County Galway. It's www.slivaktisenter.com or her direct email is tracy@horsebackyogaireland.com. T-R-A-C-I-E is how you spell Tracy's name. And I'm sure she'd love to hear from you. I know I'm certainly going to do more programmes with her. Okay, we'll talk to you soon.